Colossians chapter 1 is over here in Colossians chapter 1. Let me read a scripture. Verse 9, this is in a prayer here. Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you, Houston Faith Church, may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So really, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. I want you to know His will, His general will for everybody, and His specific will for you. And that's what we've talked about a couple times this past month, is the will of God. It all begins with the Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God for everybody. We all have the same will of God for many things. We all have the same will of God for our purpose in the earth. And that's what we've talked about. We all got the same purpose. 90% of our life is the same purpose. 95% of our life is the same purpose. The 5 to 10% is your unique part, which I want you to find that too. Again, that's the icing on the cake. Remember, the cake is the general will for everybody. You could score an A just by doing the general will. Then the icing is the extra part. I want you to fulfill that too. And that's what we've been discussing. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and so on. But I wanted you to see that fully pleasing Him is our goal, isn't it? If fully pleasing God is not your goal, we have locked the doors until you change your mind. Around here, that is how we expect Christians to develop into wanting to fully please God. Amen. So we've discussed how it all begins. It all begins with consecration, where you fully commit your life. Not partially, not just for ticket to heaven, but fully committing your life to Jesus is the first step to succeeding with God. Amen. It's the first step to fully pleasing Him. If you can't fully commit to God, I can't promise you much. It's all just motivational speaking. But once you fully commit, it gets exciting. We talked about how you have to commit your works. Because, number one, it's right. Number two, because you have to control your thoughts. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And that's important because we've seen so many people get derailed in their pursuit of God's will for their life by their thought life. Temptations come, idle thoughts come, wrong thoughts come, devil thoughts come, designed to move you off, to convince you of something that's not the will of God. And if we reason ourselves into that, we'll reason ourselves out of the will of God. So we've talked about some of those things. Today I want to talk about getting untangled. To fulfill your purpose, to find and fulfill your purpose in the will of God, you're going to have to get untangled. Amen. Untangled from what? From things that have tangled you. Number one, the world. You have to get untangled from the world and the world's ways and the world's thoughts, the world's system. You got to get untangled from, we could say, sin. But I would like to also really say the flesh. You need to get untangled from your flesh. Sometimes sin looks like something so huge when it's really just flesh. Which is huge too, but it doesn't sound as hard. And get untangled from the devil himself. So we're going to talk about that today so that you can be free to pursue the things of God. You know, when we talk about your purpose and doing something for God, and really what it's all about here is we've tried to transition from the American way of thinking, the common human way of thinking, because a lot of times Christians get saved and come into the kingdom and they still have the same way of thinking. And then the church sometimes caters to that worldly type of thinking, where it's all about just you having a better life. And so all the messages are designed to just help you have a better, have more stuff, have more worldly things, succeed more in the American dream. We've already hammered that enough, I know. But we can't be left in the church with a mindset that that's what it's all about. Amen. Just all about me getting some stuff and having a little bit more comfort in life. It's good. I mean, those are covenant promises. Peace and comfort and joy and things Amen. Are covenant promises. Amen. That God will add all things to your life. But first, seek the kingdom. Amen. And so what we're talking about is the kingdom. Your focus has to be not on the American dream and on all things perfect. Your focus has to be on the will of God here.
Amen.
And so we've seen that people are left if we can't leave them over here in the church thinking that that's life. Well, if I could just hurry up and get a lot of money so I could hurry up and retire, so I could hurry up and have some fun and use my boat more. Or some people just want to use their mower. Jesus said this. Remember when they talked about doing the works of God, and he said, this is the work of God that you believe. So first you're going to have to believe. They said, how do we work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God that you believe on him that God has sent. In essence, that's everything. In essence, you have to believe Christ.
Amen.
That's a big belief, though. Because if you're going to believe Christ, you can't just believe a little piece. You can't just believe a little historical event. You have to believe him. And he's big. And with Christ comes the will of God. With Christ comes a takeover in the home.
Hallelujah.
So if you're going to believe Christ, you're going to have to go all in because he's big. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then remember this. In your pursuits, this is really, we've talked about this enough, but this is what satisfies you. What satisfies you is doing the will of God. Yeah. Fully pleasing God is what fully pleases you. Amen. And if you've never tasted that, keep listening. It's very important. You've got to taste the fact that in the will of God is what satisfies you.
Amen.
Not the next fun thing, not the next worldly thing, not the next event, not the next family get together. Those don't satisfy you enough.
Amen.
Those entice you and lure you to have some excitement, but they don't satisfy the soul.
Amen.
Jesus said this. Remember, they were looking for some food and they were hungry and they were going to, should we go to town? Jesus said, go to town. They came and they said, Jesus, what are you going to eat? He said, my meat, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. What fed Jesus, what fed and satisfied his soul was doing the will of God
Amen.
And finishing the work.
That's right.
What needs to satisfy us is doing the will of God.
Amen.
The day, the minute of the hour of the day
yes.
that I obey God and not be rude. The minute of the day that I spend 15 minutes with God. The minute of the day that I follow the Holy Spirit to bless somebody. That feeds our soul. That's what truly makes us happy. I remember early in my walk with God, I recognized the quick change that had happened to me. Whereas before, I was pursuing a lot of fun stuff and exciting things to hurry up and do life in my 20s because I only live once. So it's like you got to do stuff and schedule stuff and get it all done and see it all and experience it all and hurry up and have some fun and hurry up and have some more fun and hurry up and get those dreams that you have in your heart to come to pass because you don't have much time and you got to hurry up and have some fun. And here comes the weekend, we got to hurry up. And I remember telling my youth group one time when I was a kid, the leader made note of it and he laughed. But I said, there's only so many weekends in a lifetime. That's how I live my life. And I was going to use every single weekend to rack up a good life. And I remember how clear it was when I got in the kingdom and I was happy to just sit there when I had spare time. Just sit in my backyard or plant something and watch it grow. I used to make fun of people that would sit there. We used to drive to school and there was a guy that had a garden outside of his house And he'd sit there in his chair and we'd make fun of him. Look, he's just sitting there watching his crop grow. He's probably saved. I didn't know, but he's probably. Because when you're saved, you can just sit there and be happy. I'm in the will of God. I'm not working. I'm not talking about just doing nothing. I'm talking about when you have spare time, being happy, being content, not feeling like you're in the rat race. That's what I'm talking about, getting disconnected from the world. Glory. Turn with me to John chapter 4. No, I already quoted that, so. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We've read this, but the more you see it and hear it and say it, the easier it is to hook on to it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Is that underlined in your Bible or blacked out?
Yes, it is.
Is it blacked out? Underlined. So therefore, I really like my Jeep Grand Cherokee, but I'm not allowed to love it. Oh, I'm not semantics. I'm not just nitpicking semantics. You can love your car. You can say that. But just evaluate your life. What do you love? What are you spending too much thought on and time on and heart beating after? And what's wasting your time? What's distracting you of the world that doesn't need to? And again, that doesn't mean you can sit there and say, well, yeah, my job is distracting me. No, you need to be working a lot. Don't love the world or the system of the world or the things in the world or the Academy Award shows too much. Frivolous stuff that it just doesn't amount to anything. Don't love the world too much. Yeah, I know I'm not supposed to love the sports too much. Okay, let's move on real quick. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So evaluate yourself where you're missing some of God's love because you love the world too much. He's not being mean to you. This is not some harsh penalty. This is just a fact that if your heart is taken up with the love of the world, you're not going to have the love of God in there. You can remember that He loves you, but it won't feel like it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the shiny stuff, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You've heard so many stories of people in their final year or so or day of life. You know, they think, what I've done different? And they recognize, well, the shiny stuff didn't do it for me. That's where King Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. He got to the end, he's like, wow, this is all pretty much vanity. What did he say was important? Come on, you know the last scripture of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. I believe that we ought to follow the wise ones. So be careful. Be serious about this. Jesus said in John 15, He said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." The world hates you. How many of you know that the world hates you?
Absolutely.
How many of you hope that the world doesn't hate you? You know, there's a human thing that we want to be loved, we want to be liked, we want even non-Christians to accept us and love us and appreciate what we appreciate and understand what we appreciate. We just have this thing in us that it kind of disrupts us when somebody doesn't accept our words or our lifestyle. And so we want to defend and all that and we get upset. They're going to hate you. And if they're not hating you, you're not doing Christianity enough. Well, I don't want to offend people. Too late. For you to be a sincere Christian already offends people. You understand? For you to be a real Christian that believes the Bible, you're already totally offensive. Now, there's a trend in the church where they're trying to bend and say, well, we'll go ahead and accept new lifestyles and contemporary living, and we'll change a few things to meet the times of the day. No. If you're a real Christian, they hate you. And if they don't hate you, you're not doing it right. I'm not saying try to make them hate you. I'm saying live holy, tell the truth, and love them to the cross. You have a better chance of winning them that way. There's times when you don't save with compassion, you save with fear. When you grab them by the shirt collar and you say, listen up, buddy. You're in danger of hell. And I'm tired of putting up with it. And you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. Hey, you tried everything else, might as well try that. So how do you get freed from the world? How do you make sure you're not entangled with the world? Remember, the scripture says that no man that wars in spiritual things entangles himself in the affairs of this life. If you're going to be a Christian that can use the power of God and help other people, if you're going to be a Christian that can discern good and evil and toe the rope, toe the line, whatever, you're going to have to not be entangled with the world. What does that mean? That means seek things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Don't seek things on the earth. Amen. Set your mind on, set your affection on things above. What's your affection on? Well, the new Mercedes, obviously. No. It's okay to have a fancy yellow car. It's okay to have a fancy car. It's okay to have whatever you have. Hey, that's putting you in the Lord. It's okay to have whatever you have. But where the problem comes in is when you're depressed for 24 hours if you get a scratch on that yellow car. That's when you know you're just a little too far, and we'll pull you back in. Don't worry, brother. But he's not worried about that. I'm sorry, I could have picked on the guy on the other side who has the fancy Harley or whatever that is. Which we haven't heard in the parking lot in quite a while. So we're not talking about not experiencing or enjoying. All things were created for our enjoyment. We can use the world, just not abuse the world. So there's this balance. There's this limit that you have to keep in your own heart. You can have a vacation home or two if you want. I don't mind. Not that it all has to filter through me. We're not that type of a church. I would say the Lord doesn't mind those things for you to have abundance and prosperity, but your heart has to be right. And when your heart's right, you'll be using your money right. Amen. That means if you're going to buy fancy big things, you'll also be giving fancy big things to God. Amen. So you just have to make sure your heart is right with God. Amen. Set your mind, set your affection on what's good and right. Amen. I would say this as well. You need to have less worldly input, more kingdom input. When I got in the kingdom, I couldn't get enough of learning the kingdom. I had cassette tapes. Does everybody know what a cassette tape is? Not 8-track. We don't have to go back that far. Very few Christian ministries even had teaching on 8-track. By the time the teaching movement came, it was all cassettes. They did have reel-to-reel, though, so that, I guess it was a little before that. But anyway. Cassette tapes, CDs, MP3s, MOVs, MP4s. Okay, now we're kicking. You just need to be interested enough to hear more than one sermon a week. Amen. Of course, now we've got internet, we've got videos. You can click and click and click till you're blue in the face. I would say in that, because now everybody's accessible, all teaching is accessible basically, be careful. Pick a couple or three at any one time in your life that are touching your heart and feeding you. Don't be a glutton. where you just think you got to know everything that everybody has said, you'll be a confused, kind of wacky looking thing. So be careful. Follow the Lord in all that. Recognize, you know, the meat that you need, and follow the Lord in that. The Holy Spirit will help you. To disconnect from the world, not be so worldly, you're going to have more church in your life, not less. More church never hurt anybody. More church never hurt anybody. And so we're a little concerned that in the old day, you went to church, Sunday school, Sunday church, Sunday night, and Wednesday night church. You had four main assemblies for your week. Now, most churches are doing one. And matter of fact, let's just half that because people can't handle longer than an hour. So you got a half of one rather than four services in your life. Times to be together in the assembly. Well, think about it. That takes up 4 hours, 5 hours. That takes up 8 hours of your week. That takes up 8 hours of your free time that's not idle where you have to fill it with worldly stuff. Anytime you've ever been in a church revival setting where it's night after night for a week or two or three or four or five, people at the end of it think, wow, my whole life's a little different.
Yeah.
We've cut out all of the chaos in the home that happens at night. We've cut out all the argument. Man, the argument has gone to nothing. Yeah, you're not at home to argue. You realize all of a sudden you're flooded and full of the kingdom and you're thinking kingdom way until the revival ends, and 3 weeks later you're back into, so more church never hurt.
That's right. Amen.
The devil is never going to try to get you to go to church more. How about more prayer meetings? If you're able to commit to a prayer meeting, we have a bunch of prayer meetings for that reason. If you're able to commit to a prayer meeting every week, that will help you. That will cause your heart and your mind to remember 6 days of the week, oh yeah, I got to go to prayer meeting. That'll help your life. That'll help you walk straighter. Knowing I'm going to have to go talk to the Holy One. So you need more Christians in your life if you're going to get untangled from the world. I said you need more Christians in your life if you're going to get untangled from the world. And if family is not Christian, you're going to reduce your time with them. You can love family and be with family and love family, but you can't walk closely with them because you're going to get to the line where you're not going to want to cross it. They're going to have to go on. You can hang out with unsaved family all weekend long until Sunday morning comes and they go to the wherever and you. It usually gets quiet when we start talking about your personal lives. But I love my family. Jesus said, you got to love me more. That's in the Bible. He said, you got to love me more than your mama. Mom, I love you deeply. Hallelujah. Get untangled from the world means leave your worldly dreams. Stop dragging your false dreams from your childhood around. Some people had to leave their favorite state, their favorite country. They had to leave someplace and they're just, for the next 50 years, they're pining away trying to get back there. I think that's a false dream. Absolutely, usually a false dream. Find the will of God. Pick that up. In wherever you're at right now, pick that up. Again, I'm talking about your personal dreams. I get it. Nobody likes that. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse... Well, this is the parable of the sower, which means the Word of God is planted in different places. Some places are good, some places are too hard. The Word of God is the seed, it's the truth, it's the will of God. And so you hear the will of God. It's talking about people that hear the Word of God, hear the will of God. The seed is sown, sometimes stony ground, sometimes the wayside, sometimes thorns and thistles, sometimes good ground. Four types of ground. Here's the explanation of it. Verse 16, these are likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. That's why you need to be rooted. You need to be planted somewhere in a church. You need to be rooted in your faith so that you can grow. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Your desire for other things, your desire for worldly things, your desire for riches, which is the deceitfulness of riches, is one way you stay entangled in the world. And it stops you and hinders you from fulfilling the will of God and plan of God for your life. To need and want the money moves people out of the will of God so very often. It's deceitfulness of riches. It will stop you even where you don't even realize it. Here's one way. In your subconsciousness, if you have money too high of a priority in your own mind, that means everything else will take a back seat to your pursuit of that. If money is too high of a priority in your mind, whether you say it or act like it or not, it will stop you from doing basic Christian things like going to prayer meetings. Amen. Well, I can't do that. I got so much to do. I got so much on my mind. There was a young man I used to know, excited Christian, new Christian, fired up, filled with the Spirit, hearing about winning souls, trying to go on outreaches, or went on outreaches and was doing some good stuff. And he came and told me, he said, I had a revelation this weekend. He said, I was driving down the freeway and I saw a homeless person on the corner and I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to go help him, talk to him. He said, and I didn't want to, and I just kept driving, and the Holy Spirit showed me instantly. It flashed before my eyes. My love of money is what's stopping me from turning around. I thought, wow, I saw it so clearly. Yes. He saw it. I think that was total revelation from the Holy Spirit. He wasn't like on his way to make money necessarily, but his mind was so filled with how to increase, how to set up for retirement, how to make more money, that he didn't have the gumption to do a simple Christian thing. If you got some huge thing to do, the little things are like, well, I'll let those slip. He started winning souls out of that revelation. You got to keep that fresh. I mean, you could all at any time you can fall back into the deceitfulness of riches. So you figure out your own life and you discern in your own soul what's happening when it comes to serving God or reading your Bible or disciplining yourself or being a real follower of Jesus. You find what's stopping you. You're in charge of you. You find out what's hindering you. If you're not free from money, you won't be able to give to the kingdom when there's a purpose. When the vision comes, you'll be like, oh, it's not me. God's not calling me to help because I got so much to do. I got plans for my money that doesn't include all that. Deceitfulness of riches. Turn to Romans 6. So you're untangled from the world now. Praise the Lord. I got three on the front row. Now let's get untangled from the flesh. Untangled from sin. You know, people get down on themselves because they fall back into a bad habit or they can't get out of a habit or they just keep falling and messing up. And it's just like impossible. You know, listen, it's not you that's wanting to sin. It's your flesh. Okay? The real you doesn't want to sin. If you're saved, Your spirit, the real you, does not want to sin. And that's why you're mad at yourself after you've sinned. You with me?
Yes.
That's why your conscience scratches you when you've been a little harsh or done some sin. Because the real you doesn't want to sin. You need to know that so you don't get too down on yourself. What you do need is to control your flesh. Start deciding in your mind how you're going to beat the flesh and not give in to so that you overcome. Here's some scripture to help you. Romans 6 is the get out of sin card. It's the get out of sin steps. So you need to memorize Romans 6, say it out loud, verbalize it to yourself only 1,000 times in a month. That's all. If you'll verbalize it to yourself 1,000 times in a month, you'll find some real victory and some real strength over what's been holding you back. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. King James says, God forbid. Come on, don't be ridiculous. So learning that we're saved by faith alone does not mean just do what you want. How ridiculous. People that say that and act like that and don't want to talk about sin, they're ridiculous. They're insincere Christians. They're hiding behind walls. Let's deal with the right things. Certainly you're saved. Romans 5 talks about how saved you are. Matter of fact, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Glory. So no matter how bad of a rotten sinner you have acted like, there's more grace and you're saved.
Hallelujah.
Does that mean that Brother Doug should continue in sin?
No.
Certainly not. Don't be ridiculous. That's how Paul wrote this. Certainly. I'm sure he had that face, the same one I have. Certainly not.
Amen.
How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Yes.
Start thinking about you died to sin. Yeah, your spirit died to sin. When you got dunked in the water, your flesh was supposed to die to sin. Technically, that was what's supposed to happen when you get dunked. It's the symbol of death. In this case, death to sin.
Yes.
Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So think about it. I was dead. My flesh died. Sin died. And I rose up to live with Christ. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
Hallelujah.
So if you felt like a slave of sin, this is the chapter for you. You're not a slave of sin.
Amen.
Everybody say it out loud. Say, I'm not a slave of sin.
I'm not a slave of sin.
Say it 999, whatever. Say it a bunch more, and it'll start taking shape in you. I'm not a slave of sin. All of a sudden, sin knocks at the door, and you're like, ha, shut that door. Rather than, oh, no, I guess I got to go do it. For he who has died has been freed from sin.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Dead people don't sin.
Amen.
You kick them all. I ain't even mad at him anymore. He hadn't sinned against me all week. Some of you are thinking that was so unholy to do that. Sorry. Verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. So you got to believe that you died with Him.
Amen.
Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him.
Amen.
For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God.
Amen.
Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you mean reckon yourselves? It means just say okay. Just reckon it. Okay. Isn't that what you say? Hey, you think you're hungry for some chips and queso? I reckon so. You're just saying, okay. Yep, I agree with that. Just reckon yourselves to be dead to sin.
Amen.
Say okay. Just say it.
Okay.
Okay, you're dead to sin. Tell yourself that 1,000 times. Watch what happens in you. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your where?
Mortal body.
Don't let it reign in your flesh. Sin does not reign in your heart. You're Christians. Sin does not reign in your spirit. You're born again spirit.
Amen.
See the difference here. Your spirit man wants to win this.
Amen.
And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So there's an element of you not letting sin reign by you giving your hands and eyes over to something decent. And how about tongue? I guess I should have said tongue first. Giving your tongue to what's right and good. Giving your hands and your eyes to what's right and good. Giving your feet some time in church and with Christians and doing kingdom things, etc., etc., etc. Present yourself that way. You'll find success. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
For you're not under the curse, I mean, under the law, but under grace. So everybody say it out loud. Sin shall not.
Sin shall not.
Have dominion over me.
Have dominion over me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of course, that brings us to the devil. You can say that about the devil. Say, the devil.
The devil.
Does not have dominion over me. The devil's a whole other topic. The main thing I want to say to you today is get untangled from his lies. Get untangled from the way that he has challenged your identity. From the way that he's challenged you with big things and little things. Remember with Jesus, the devil tempted Jesus with a huge thing. Bow down and worship me, I'll give you the whole wide world. Get untangled from those lies. Then he tempted him with, hey, why don't you just toss yourself off the cliff and surely the angels will pick you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So don't fall in those traps where you're going to test God. Like, God, I'm going to just see if you really love me. Here's my prayer request. I'll give you 15 minutes. Don't do religion. Then that's a middle thing. Then an easy thing. Just use your power for something frivolous. Turn this stone into bread. Don't let him tempt you. Don't let him lie to you about even insignificant looking things. Oh, no, you can do that. Oh, no. The will of God is not that big for you. It's not that important that you do everything. You don't have to do everything that the Bible says. You know, at least this week. You can do some things wrong this week. You'll catch it next week. The devil's a liar. You need to get untangled from him and stop having conversations with the devil.
Yes.
Do not let the devil sit on your couch and have coffee with you.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. And then come to church. Well, the devil's really been talking to me lately.
Yes.
What, did you have a little tea meeting with him? Christians, get untangled, we win. Get untangled, you fulfill the will of God for your life. It's what it's all about.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.